Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to On the Couch with Dr. Michelle, right here on LA Talk Radio.
This is Dr. Michelle Cohen, and you are officially on the couch here on LA Talk Radio, as you always are, Fridays at 11 in the morning Pacific Standard Time here in beautiful Los Angeles. Thank you guys so much for tuning in today. As always, I see the listener lights are going up. Yes! I put it out there on social media about my guests today and what we're going to be talking about, and hopefully you can turn your friends on to what we're going to be discussing as well. Put it out there, retweet it, love to hear from you guys. And, you know, I always talk about how to cope with what's going on around our lives in today's noisy, social, media-focused, distracted world. Doesn't it kind of seem harder than ever to listen to our inner voice? I mean, really, you know, I mean, with negative news of violence and political issues, financial, health struggles constantly bombarding us, how can we learn to calm our minds to a more positive, a more peaceful place? And a lot of us do meditate, you know, or we practice yoga or whatever we do, but are we really doing what we need to do in order to enjoy our lives to where we can say that sort of we found meaning and purpose, peacefulness? You know, outside of our daily work status, our family or relationships, you know? Well, today I'm going to be talking about how to free ourselves from harmful thought habits, teaching you some precious skills to live more consciously and happily. And of course, my guests are going to talk about that. You know, when we're on the journey to become what we really are, we have to realize sometimes that our greatest potentials don't have to be acquired or manufactured, but only realized. So I want you to keep it here on LA Talk Radio, on the couch. And if you'd like to write a question, go for it, straighttalkdoc@gmail.com. If you'd like to call in, and if you have a question for my guests, that number here is 323-203-0815. Whatever you'd like to do to respond, or just be quiet and listen, we'd love to have you today. Because today I'm talking with Drs. Mary and Ron Holodnick, and they're pioneers and innovators in the field of spiritual psychology. As the University of Santa Monica's founding faculty and co-directors, they designed the university's curriculum, and they've served as senior faculty for USM's master's degree programs. They've been going on for over 35 years. It's an amazing program. I know a lot of people out here in the West Los Angeles area who have gone to their school and received their MA, and it's just a wonderful curriculum. And we're going to tell you more about how you can get into that if you're in the area or if you'd like to. And also, the Holodnicks are the executive producers of the university's award-winning documentary, Freedom to Choose. It actually took first place in the 2009 Emerging Filmmaker Showcase at the Cannes Film Festival. And they have an earlier book you might have read. Guys out there who are listening to me, you always go into spiritual and or self-awareness books. Their book was called Loyalty to Your Soul, The Heart of Spiritual Psychology, and it's a stunning masterpiece as well. So Ron and Mary are both licensed marriage and family therapists, and Mary is also a licensed clinical psychologist. And again, today we're talking about their latest book, which I love this book. I was blown away because it, you know, they are educators, they're professors, and they wrote it, interestingly, but also it's a study book. So it's like a course. As a matter of fact, the book's called Remembering the Light Within, A Course in Soul-Centered Living. So welcome to the show, Mary, and welcome to the show, Ron. Nice to have you with me.
Thank you for having us.
Yes, thank you so much, Michelle.
Oh, it's really a lovely book, and I'm going to use this as one of my reference books for my patients. I'm going to say, you've got to pick
Beautiful.
Up this book.
That is wonderful.
Well, no, it really is lovely, and I really enjoy the flow, and also, you know, there's so much good information as well. It's a workbook. You know, it has people sort of challenge and go within and think about how they think and what their intentions are. And, you know, it's very psychological, but it's also related to the spiritual aspect of all of us, which I love. So, but I'm always interested in what inspired, you know, my specialists and authors and experts to bring forward the principles and practices of what you refer to as spiritual psychology.
I think it was a natural evolution for us, and a recognition that while psychology is wonderful, it really can only take us so far, because psychology has focused primarily on the mind and emotions and behaviors and has not included the spiritual dimension, with some rare exceptions, and that psychology was really brought onto the planet in order to help people remember why they were here and what the purpose of their existence was.
Right.
So it was intended to be the study of the soul, and yet it's anything but that today.
Right.
In fact, if you look the word up in the dictionary, if you look psyche up in the dictionary, you'll find spirit, mind, breath of life, things of that nature.
Yes.
But psychology kind of took it off because they wanted to follow the medical scientific model, and you can't really quite do it that way.
Right. And also,
I mean, how do you put diagnostic numbers to, you know?
That's right.
We say there's really only one diagnostic number, 101.1, perceived separation from spirit.
That's lovely. No, that really makes a lot of sense. And, you know, all the different, as they call them, orientations of psychology. You know, as psychologists, we have to designate to whoever, you know, the individuals we're, you know, working with, or insurance companies. What kind of psychology do you practice? You know, we all have to put ourselves into a niche of, you know, cognitive behavioral, that's legitimate, or psychoanalytic or psychodynamic, that kind of thing. And I really am uncomfortable with having to pigeonhole us into these particular, you know, places of what kind of psychology, because spiritual psychology encompasses everything. I agree with you so much, both of you, that you've got to have this in order to have self-awareness, you know. And we're not talking about religion, of course, right?
No, I think it's very important to bring forward the distinction between religion and spirituality. Mm. Religion really has to do with forms and formats that have been developed, and some people find those valuable. But all of us are spiritual, whether we realize it or not,
right?
Because in our frame of reference, we're all divine beings having a human experience here for the purpose of remembering who we are, of awakening into the awareness of our essential nature, which is loving and compassionate, creative, wise, joyful.
Oh, yes.
Religion serve a different purpose.
Yes.
The way that I like to think about it that makes the most sense to me, see, if you look at the goal of every religion, interestingly, they really all are saying the same thing.
Yes.
They're saying that when you climb up the ladder of spiritual ascension, what you get to is a state that would be referred to as loving.
Yes.
And I don't mean emotional loving. I mean that kind of transcendent loving where you see everything in the world and you realize it all serves purpose, and therefore it's all loving, and you can love it all.
Mm.
Not the easiest thing in the world to wrap your head around, but nevertheless, that's what they're saying. And all these different religions are kind of like buses that are going up this mountain, but they're all going up from different bases.
Mm-hmm.
So they have a different road that takes them up to the same place.
Sure.
The problem starts coming in when people get concerned about what kind of rules we're going to have on the bus.
Right.
So
right.
we're gonna wear a certain kind of clothes on the bus. We're gonna eat certain kind of foods at certain times, and it gets dicey when we start building those rules into the religion itself.
Yes.
So the thing about spiritual psychology is it bypasses all of that.
Mm-hmm.
It says, since loving is the goal, why don't we just forget all the rest and focus on the principles and practices that we have experientially determined, for us it's over the last 36 years or so, will take us there if we do these things and we look at it in this way, people get there. That's why all these books are sold, and that's why the classes have gone on unabated for these last 36 years.
Yeah, wow, that's so true. By the way, if you just tuned in here, you're on the couch with Dr. Michelle here on LA Talk Radio, as you always are, Fridays, 11 in the morning Pacific Standard Time. Another fabulous book that we're talking about, and my special guests, who are the authors, Drs. Mary and Ronald Holnick. And the book we're talking about is Remembering the Light Within, A Course in Soul-Centered Living. This is a spiritual psychology book. So good. It's a course book almost, but it reads like a lovely, comfortable novel, and it really does open up, you know, a lot of thoughts. At least it did for me, and I consider myself a spiritual psychologist, so I was going, oh my gosh, that's right. I mean, there's so much in here. This is the kind of book, you know, Mary and Ronald, that I tell people to take home, study, work with, and or take on a nice vacation. So when you're sitting there, wherever you're sitting in a beautiful environment, you can calm your mind and really take time to embrace some of the concepts here. So, and we're going to tell you how you can get a hold of or find out more about Drs. Mary and Ronald Holnick, and also get a hold of this book and their other books at the end of the show. So keep it here, a little tease for you guys. Now, so let's talk about remembering the light within, and you sort of explained it in that way, which was wonderful, Ronald, about, you know, it's kind of religions or different buses, you know, sort of how we get there to the same place. But what is the importance of that?
Well, there's two ways that we think about it.
Mm-hmm.
The first way we already mentioned, it's like the human race. You could think of a group of people who all went into a show.
Yeah.
And somehow they forgot that they were in the audience, and they all jumped up on the stage to participate in the show. And so remembering, the concept of remembering is, hey, wait a minute, everybody, let's remember who we are and what we came here for.
Yes.
So
yes.
That's one way.
Mm-hmm.
The second way is by taking the word remember.
Right.
And looking at it as re-member. In other words, to renew our membership in the body of people who are interested in loving.
Yes, that's right.
So this is what we mean by remembering the light within.
Oh, that's beautiful. I love that.
And so, we also speak of remembering because in our experience of our own growth and awakening, and all the students we've had the privilege of serving over the years, that there is spiritual amnesia, that when we come onto the planet, we take on a body, we come equipped with mind and emotions, which constitute the ego, and the ego really has no concept of our essential spiritual nature, and is quite separated from it. And the ego thinks, this is who I am. I'm my mind, I'm my feelings, I'm my preferences. It identifies with its behavior, but it really has no awareness of the deeper essential nature, which is loving and compassionate, joyful and wise, creative, service-oriented, and peaceful.
It may have it as a concept, but it won't have it as an experiential reality.
Right. No, that makes a lot of sense. So you talk about, in your book, the three principles that provide entrance into, as you call it, the spiritual context. And I think a lot of people want to sort of get a hold on that, but they many times they just can't. There's so much going on, they can't focus on what, you know, principles would really serve them. So can you talk more about those?
Mm-hmm. Yes, we have 33 foundational principles, and the first one really is that God is everything in existence, both seen and unseen.
That is the definition of what that word means.
Yes.
And to us, the nature of God is love. Mm. And since we are all part of God, our essential nature is loving. And we have the opportunity in a lifetime to wake up fully into the awareness of the love that we are and to experience our loving nature here and now. And that is so, so important. I was speaking with someone earlier this morning, and there's someone who has suffered from deep depression, and a few years ago were very close to suicide and no longer in that state of awareness, but aware now that the opportunity is to really come alive in the essence of who they are.
Yes, yes. And that's, you know, that's huge. So I guess the question for me and many of the listeners would be, how can we accept that, open our hearts up to love, you know, accept the love that's within us and allow that, and of course, you know, expand that to others, and see, as you say, seeing the loving essence within ourselves in your book. So how can many of us do this? What are some of the practices or things that we can do with all the chaos going on? You know, things are so competitive, and we all beat ourselves up for not being perfect. And, you know, there's just so much going on. How can we just sort of start to begin to love ourselves?
Well, part of the challenge is that we tend to put I'll call it a problem, but I don't mean a problem in like it's more like an algebra problem. How do you solve the problem? So the way that we tend to look at it, because this is the way the ego tends to look at things, is all the things that we have to do. We have to do things so that we can build this loving muscle, or whatever, however one would want to describe it. But what are these things that we have? We have to work at this. We have to do all of these things. And really, it turns out that it doesn't really work that way at all. And one of the primary quotes that we work with was by Jalaluddin Rumi, the mystic poet.
Yes, yes.
And he said, your task is not to seek for love, which is the way we all attempt to do it, the way the ego attempts to do it. He said, your task is not to seek for love.
Yes, yes.
But merely to seek and find all the barriers that you have built within against it. And to that we add, and to dissolve them.
Yes.
So the work is all about identifying these barriers that act as filters to our sight, and every time we remove one filter, we see more clearly.
That makes so much sense. So go ahead, Mary. Sorry.
And part of that work really is helping people release the addiction to judgment that we as humans encounter of being inside the duality of good, bad, right, wrong, and of attempting to assist ourselves in feeling worthy through the superiority that can come from a sense of judging others, to really let go of that.
Yes.
To open our hearts. We have many practices. I think the most essential one we refer to as seeing the loving essence. And it, in its simplest form, I speak of it as seeing with the eyes of our heart.
Yes.
That if we can slow down inside and really be present with another person and have the intention of being present in the loving.
Yes.
And seeing the other person through soft eyes, compassionate mm-hmm. eyes, mm-hmm. the eyes of our heart. These eyes are not only gentler, softer, but they're more accepting eyes.
Yes.
More aware that we are all divine beings and that we are all doing the best we can, given the state of our consciousness, given our conditioning,
true,
given the learnings that we have experienced so far.
Mm-hmm.
So if your readers, your listeners rather, would want to try something experientially, see, that first principle is that the nature of everything is loving.
Mm.
That means everybody is loving. It would mean that everywhere you go, everyone you see, what you are really looking at, if you see them clearly, is a divine being who is in that moment having a human experience, no matter what mm-hmm. they're doing.
Yes.
They could be doing what in our minds is the worst thing. They're still a divine being having a human experience, although it may not be a very uplifting one.
True.
So if you were to walk around, just take one day, let's say they take the rest of today or tomorrow, and everywhere you go and everyone you see, in your mind, you would, wow, there's a divine being having a human experience. There's a divine being driving a car. There's a divine being shopping in the supermarket. There's a divine being, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
That one practice alone, I suspect you'd come to the end of the day and you would literally be a changed person.
Mm. How do we get this? And I don't mean to be monotonous, because I mean, I know you both as professors, founders of the university, and authors, specialists, doctors. I know that you've heard this over and over again, but it's so, again, and it's we're supposed to change our story in the way we phrase things, right, in the way we think. But it's so difficult sometimes to say, there's a divine being who's screaming and yelling at me. You know,
yeah.
I see the couples, I'm working with people, and, you know, my parents, my father had a chemical imbalance, and his way of coping with things was, you know, screaming, yelling, throwing, and abusing. So how can we get to more of a divine understanding and forgiving when we our survival brain's trying to say, oh my gosh, I've got to get out of this mess, and you know, we hold on to these, of course, angry and the hurt that was, you know, put upon us from them. How do we forgive them? How do we move on to this better state?
That's a fabulous question, and it's
Thank
really
you.
A question that's not going to produce a result if
mm-hmm.
someone asks that question,
mm.
because that question is precisely the kind of question that is outside of the lens where you see things from a spiritual perspective.
Mm-hmm.
If you see things from a spiritual perspective, then you realize if everyone is really a divine being or a soul having a human experience, everyone really is doing the best that they know how to do.
Right.
No matter how we may define their behavior as atrocious or not very loving, or the fact of the matter is it's the best that they know how to do.
Yes.
This is where the whole experience of compassion comes in.
That
you have compassion for everyone because everyone is doing the best they knew how to do.
Mm-hmm.
One of the most profound experiences of that, because for quite a number of years we were doing work up at the Chowchilla Women's Prison in Northern California. And you go in there and we would do these workshops with these women. And if you didn't know that you were in a workshop with prison inmates, many of whom were in for life because of what they had done, you would not in a nanosecond think that was what was going on. They were just like everybody else, only they had made some choices that didn't work out very well for them.
Yes, yes.
So if we mm-hmm. move into that consciousness, then what we realize is you can't really, I mean, you can, but if the task is not to let go of judging someone for the wrong thing that they had done.
Yes.
Because the wrong is in our minds.
Right.
So what we work with, and this is the key to the whole thing, and this is not the easiest thing in the world, as you will realize immediately when I say it.
Yeah.
The task is not to forgive other people for the bad things that they have done. The task is to forgive ourselves for judging those people. Because when we enter into judgment, we will get emotional feedback that will be upsetting to us.
Yes.
And this is why when we enter into judgment, we get things like angry.
Yes.
We think the other person caused the anger. Not so.
Mm.
Not so.
Yeah.
The anger was in us all the time, coupled with that judgment. Mm-hmm. You issue the judgment, now you feel the anger.
Yes. That makes so
much
sense.
It's a whole different way of looking at it.
Yes.
And part of our work, we talk with people about their spiritual curriculum.
Mm-hmm.
What is it they came to Earth to do?
Mm-hmm.
And
yes.
spiritual curriculum includes the issues we came to heal, the gifts that we came to share. It includes both of those things.
Yes.
And in our work, our model includes what we refer to as both the goal line and the soul line.
Mm.
The goal line has to do with physical world reality.
Right.
It has to do with health. It has to do with our career. It has to do with our families. It has to do with our livelihood. All the things that are the part of physical world reality. And in physical world reality, most of us are goal line oriented.
Mm-hmm.
We want to have a good quality of life. We want to enjoy our lives. And we want to have a sense that somehow our lives have made a difference. And it's that last part that takes us more onto the goal line and to the question of our spiritual nature.
Mm-hmm.
What am I here to learn? Mm-hmm. What am I here to heal?
Yes.
What am I here to let go of?
Mm-hmm.
How can I come into the greater experience of the fullness of my soul consciousness
mm-hmm.
and the giftedness that my soul is?
Mm.
And so we encourage people in the practice of compassionate self-forgiveness, forgiving their judgments. And that doesn't mean don't deal with things on the goal line of life.
Oh, right.
Don't
yeah.
learn how to communicate in relationships. Very important to learn how to conduct relationships, and it's very important to resolve the unresolved issues inside of us so that we're not a mass of emotional reactivity, a hot mess, as
right.
is described
right.
Among younger people here today.
Mm-hmm.
And that true healing can really occur. And in our two-year program, we witnessed this over and over and over, that people were able to let go of the hurt, to heal the hurt, to let go of their misidentification with themselves as unworthy, as a victim, as being punished, and to
yes.
cleanse the lens of their perception in such a way that they can see clearly that all of life is for them, that they are not a victim, that they have choice, and that they can make wonderful choices regardless of what their early experience and conditioning has been.
Mm.
Now, Michelle, you know as well as I do, this is not easy work.
Mm-mm.
This is courageous work.
Yes.
And it is doable work. And part of why we have loved the format of the university and the large classes that we
yes.
do
mm-hmm.
is because there is so much support, and the
yeah.
students love and support each other, and they learn so much from each other in terms of the victories and triumphs
yes.
that people have, and they see that it is possible and that they too can do it.
That's beautiful. And what you just said, Mary, is probably one of the most profound things I've ever heard on my talk show. I've been here for 10 years. So everybody, I want you to know that this show will be up in the archives tomorrow with all the content information and also how you can find out more about Mary Holdnick and Ronald Holdnick, both doctors, and of course they're pioneers and innovators in the field of spiritual psychology. They're the University of Santa Monica's founding faculty and co-directors, and they have been serving as the senior faculty for the master's degree programs for over 35 years, and of course are amazing authors, and we're going to find out more about how you can, you know, get in touch with them. But the show will be up in the archives here on my webpage at LA Talk Radio tomorrow. And also all of my shows on the couch with Dr. Michelle are free on iTunes podcasts. So if you don't, you know, pull up your LA Talk Radio app, just go onto iTunes and we're right here. You know, we're right here. If you'd like to call in, the number here is 323-203-0815, 323-203-0815. If you want to write me, you can do so. I'd love to hear from you. Let me see here. That number is straighttalkdoc@gmail.com, straighttalkdoc@gmail.com. So that's where you can, you know, ask a question. I see we have a couple of calls lighting up on the board here. So I just wanted to really reinforce that was so beautifully put, you know, psychologically and spiritually, what you had just said about, you know, it is a difficult journey sometimes. Mary, it is.
Well,
it
thank
is.
You. Thank you, Michelle. It is. But you know what? The resilience of the human spirit is extraordinary. We have seen people lay down things that are so incredibly difficult and stand up in the majesty of who they truly are, and it is glorious.
Yes, and I think if a lot more people knew that, you know, they would, you know, we are brought here, I so believe, for we're these little, like you said, souls in the human body. We're these spirits, you know, and we're here to experience all the wonderfulness of the physical realm and the things we can create and do and imagine. And but we are, as soon as we're born, sort of, unless we're, you know, brought up by Mary and Ron Holdnick, usually, you know, we come into this world sort of.
Most of us are conditioned to be asleep.
Yes.
And to be focused in five-sense reality. You know, when I talk with people, most of them have had some kind of mystical experience.
Yes.
That gave them a glimmering that there's something more. Those are often the people that are attracted to our work, and they're looking to heal themselves, to help in the healing of others, and it is it's beautiful to do this work and to see the ripple effect of our graduates going out into the world and also being of service.
Oh, yes, that's beautiful. Do you find a lot more millennials are coming to your classes? Because, I don't know.
Yeah,
there really is something with this generation.
Yes, we have a lot of young people in our class. People of all ages come.
Sure.
But I would say in the last few years, there have been an increasing number of young people, and they are breathtaking. They are awakening. They are aware that there is more than five cents reality. They're aware that these principles and practices not only can be profoundly healing, but profoundly empowering.
Yes.
And it's exciting. It's exciting to see the new consciousness that's emerging on the planet.
Yes, it is. And even though the journey is a bit difficult, because we do have to make some changes. You know, like you said, we have to venture outside of our comfort zones.
Yes.
And some people just find this a little, it's very difficult to do, because, you know, we get so used to thinking in a certain way you know, clinging on to a lot of negativity and the old messages that were given to us growing up that weren't so positive, right?
Yes, so. The ego loves familiarity. It loves comfort, control, security. And so it will throw things up on the screen of our consciousness to maintain the status quo. And part of what we encourage people to do is we encourage people to take small steps. Small steps.
Yes.
Small steps taken consistently over time can create really extraordinary transformation inwardly and also facilitate a wonderful transformation of one's life outwardly.
Yes.
In fact, that's why we wrote the book the way that we did. It has 26 chapters in it, and our suggested way of using the book is to work with one chapter for 2 weeks.
Yes. Yes.
Because doing the things that that chapter says, it takes about 2 weeks to just start to get the hang of it.
Yes.
And that way, if you follow that format, the book really becomes a year-long course, which is a nice way to do it.
Boy, it sure is.
And some people get a group of their friends together.
Oh, yeah.
So they're doing it regularly. It becomes like a little book club event.
Sure.
And they meet every couple of weeks, and they work with the material in a chapter. They share their experiences. They share their support for each other. They do the activities together.
Yes.
And since we're coming up on New Year's, it can be a wonderful way to set oneself up for a year of awakening.
Mm-hmm. I think that's beautiful, and I think that's a perfect segue into the new year, which I think will bring us a lot of hopeful, positive changes. You know, and this is a great way to do it. What a wonderful idea as well, to go through each chapter slowly, you know, each take your time, study it, get through it, and practice over and over. And this is the kind of book, Remembering the Light Within, A Course in Soul-Centered Living, listeners out there, that you can keep right near your bedside and pick it up when you need some uplifting. Go back to where you left off or look at some of the contents and say, oh, wow, that's right. I have to reframe issues as blessings. Things that happen. It's like, oh my gosh, there's no money in my bank account. Wait a minute. That's a blessing because it's helping me become more aware that, you know, or what can I learn from this right now?
And
Yes.
You know, when we're misidentified with our unworthiness, there is accompanied by a consciousness of lack.
Mm-hmm.
And this can be a real challenge and struggle for people on the goal line.
Yes, yes.
And part of it is helping people not only look at their habits, the practices that they have in relationship to money, but also to the beliefs that they were conditioned into. And I must say, I love working with people around the area of money because people get to those deeper underlying misinterpretations of reality that they've made very, very quickly. They know how they were conditioned around money.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really exciting to help people work with that, let go of that. Many people have their net worth confused with their self-worth.
That is huge. That is really a huge concept, Mary. And of course, that is intermingled with that concept of the ego. You know, we do. We base our self-worth on how much we make or how, whatever we can display out there in public and what we drive and how we live and how we dress and the labels we wear. You know, it's just...
It can be all about image and status rather than authenticity and value and the knowing that the giftedness of who you are is... a blessing, not only to you, but to those around you.
Right.
And there are two other things that when people move into the spiritual context that come to awareness that also can be challenging, but nevertheless, it's experientially obvious.
Mm-hmm.
So the first one, and this has to do with the notion that when people look out, they think that what's happening, that reality is composed of what's going on out there.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And the fact of the matter is that the reality that's really real is the fact that they are experiencing whatever they are looking at out there.
Yes.
Or whatever they're perceiving through their five senses.
Yes.
Those things aren't happening inside of them.
Mm-hmm.
They're happening outside.
Yes, yes.
And so the instant something happens, we then have to interpret it one way or the other.
Right.
And that interpretation is extremely important, because we either interpret it, the ego will either interpret it as positive or negative.
Yeah.
And if it's positive, the experience you're going to have is, I am happy because this great thing happened.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And on the other side, it's going to be, oh, I'm really upset because this terrible thing happened.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
But in either case, it's based upon that which is our interpretation.
Mm, absolutely.
This is why Shakespeare knew this. He had Hamlet say, nothing is either right nor wrong, but thinking makes it so.
Yes.
And that is so, so, so important.
Gosh, that beautiful.
The second thing is that the only real time is now.
Yes.
It's never a week ago. It's never a week from now. Mm-hmm. We only experience things now.
Mm-hmm.
But
yes.
We make sense of that, or our interpretation is based upon the past. It's based upon our memories of either things that have happened or things that we have learned.
Yes.
And so we really, most of us, most of the time, are really not living in reality at all.
Right.
We're living in a made-up reality. And the way that we've got it wired, it's like we've stepped inside the program.
Yes.
And what we really need to do is learn how to reprogram. That's what spiritual psychology is.
Beautifully said. Beautifully said, Ronald. I mean, that really clarified it for a lot of us. And it is a practice, like, you know, we were talking about earlier, is the practice of staying, trying to stay in the now. The only thing we have is now. Yes, we've learned from the past. We'll project our future, the possibilities. Hopefully they're positive in our thoughts and prayers and projections, and not our negative assumptions or, what do we call it, catastrophizing, you know. So
yeah.
Hopefully, you know, the now, you know, we can just be present, and that's part of the mindfulness psychology and everything. But as I said earlier, you know, all these other orientations, really, when it comes right down to it, the spirit, or you know, the soul-centered living focus of psychology, that's what it kind of boils down to. So
yeah,
many of the principles. Yes.
And the nice thing about all of this, again, from our perspective, we do not ask that people believe anything.
Right.
It's not a system of beliefs.
Right.
Exactly. We say we have these principles. Try them out and see how they work for you.
That's
if
perfect.
You adopt this one, what results does it have? How does your experience change?
Oh, beautifully said. And it's about that time. Oh my gosh, the time has gone so quickly talking with you both, and I appreciate you so much for coming on the show. It's Mary Hulnick and Ronald Hulnick, both doctors, professors, and of course they've created the curriculum and are the founders, co-directors of the University of Santa Monica's spiritual psychology courses, master's degree programs, and everyone is listening in all different parts of the world, by the way. So what is the best way that listeners can get a hold of your books, find out more about you both?
Well, our book is available on Amazon.com. That's probably the easiest way to find it and order it. And if they want to know more about the work that we do, they can go to our website, universityofsantamonica.edu, and that gives information about the programs that we do, and a lot of resources are available there.
Beautiful. Thank you so much for being on the show. You're the best. Wonderful, enlightening chat today.
Thank you, Michelle. It's just a pleasure to be with you and to make this connection.
I agree. Thank you both. Many blessings, and we'll be in touch.
All right.
All right.
Bless you, Michelle. Aww, thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now. All right, guys. Great stuff. You got to pick up the book. You just got a taste today of what it's all about. Remembering the Light Within, A Course in Soul-Centered Living. The founders of spiritual psychology, really. The university professors who are the directors of it. Doctors Mary Hulnick and Ronald Hulnick. And check it out, guys. Show will be up on the archives tomorrow with all the information on where you can get in touch with them or get their books. Thanks for listening, everyone. As I always say, do take care of yourselves first, and then you'll be great for others. And that's the way it works in the world. Have a wonderful holiday. We'll be back next week with another wonderful, insightful show here on The Couch. Got you.